Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. And please don't forget to give the show a 5-star rating and a glowing review so that the show is able to reach more people, which in turn helps more people. Before I dive into today's episode, I would love to introduce you to my guest today. His name is Reginald D. Smith, aka Coach Reg. He is a relationship expert, author, and speaker who is uniquely qualified to address matters of the heart. As the founder of Are You Coached? Coach Reg, he works with clients by teaching them how to create new habits while working through relationship challenges using emotional intelligence. So Coach Reg's clients are primarily high-achieving professional men and women who desire quality connections that honor and support their core goals in both personal and professional relationships. Now, I would just want to say thank you so much for being here today, Coach Reg, if that's what you prefer to be called.
That's perfectly fine, Celeste. And thank you so very much for having me. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you and your audience today.
Yes, nice. Well, to start kind of getting into the why and the how of, a little bit about more of your story and how your life led down the path to coaching.
Certainly. So, I didn't know. Right. That even though I've had some relationship challenges myself, I've experienced 2 divorces and, I learned from those. And what I realized is that in my own life, we could have experiences, but rarely do we take time to learn from them. And so I took the time to learn through that, learn about them, learn about myself, the choices I made, why, did the work to kind of uncover and discover thought processes and choices. And so that although my marriages were not successful, it didn't succeed. I've always had an affinity and a heart for others because I want people to win in their relationships, no matter the type, be it, romantic, not romantic, and even professional. And so people for years had shared with me that you have a gift, a way of hearing what is shared, offering in your own words to demonstrate that you captured what they said, and then to give them something that they can use and kind of benefit from in their lives. And so I heard it, didn't do anything with it right away. And around 2016, I launched Are You Coached? To become a premier coaching platform for, again, as you said, high-achieving individuals who desire more significant, substantive, quality relationships that honor and support their core values. But more than that, I've also kind of honed in even more in using the components of emotional intelligence to help people build foundationally better relationships and really to support those relationships that they care most about.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I mean, you say there's a couple of points that I want to take from that. The first is, you said, it's not supposed to be a debate, but I just, when you say you didn't have 2 successful marriages, mm-hmm. in my opinion, you did. Yes. Because you really learned from those relationships, right?
Yes.
I know. I know it wasn't successful in the sense that you're happily married. Right. But when people define success, mm-hmm. I think it's such a gray area, right? Because I think success is the fact that you learn something from that. You took, like you said, you learned and you self-reflected, self-awareness. You started looking in maybe what you were doing in the relationship that wasn't working, right. So on and so forth.
Exactly. And you're right. And I guess I could say that better, right? So although the marriages did not last, there was benefit and value because of lessons learned, right? So and you're right, because people view it differently and words are important that we use them and if it's success or failure. And I wouldn't say that it was a total failure because to your point, many lessons were learned. And as a result, it led me to what I do now. And now I'm able to help so many more people as a result of my own experiences. So Absolutely right. Success in that regard. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that because you are an expert in this field. I really feel that there's certain things that you have to go through in your own personal life, right?
Absolutely.
To just really understand your client. And I know that from what your clients have said that you just have this gift.
Yes.
And I think that's just added to your gift that you can really connect with them. That's really special.
I'm appreciative of it too, Celeste, because what I've also come to understand is that I listen differently. What I mean is like, it's like a third ear, so to speak. It's not just to what's said, but it's what isn't said. Mm-hmm. But more than that, how people hear. Because oftentimes we'll have conversations with people and they will nod as if they understand and they'll say, yeah, I get it. But we don't take that next step to validate that what we said was actually heard because we don't ask the hearer or the listener to repeat in their own words what they heard us say. And so although they nod knowingly, the reality is we don't know for certain that they heard us. They heard the words, but it doesn't mean that it means the same to them. For example, let's take a word like consistency. Your definition of consistency and mine may be similar, but they may not be the same. Consistency to you may mean if you do something twice a week. Consistency to someone else may mean I did it 7 days a week. You both are using the same word, but how you view it and your interpretation of that word differs. And so although we hear the word, we think, oh, I get it, but do we really? And that's why that additional question. So please tell me what you heard in your own words, right? What you heard me say. That way I know you got it versus taking for granted. And so something I talk about in my book, Love Relationships and Sometimes Just Letting Go, is like when your car breaks down, right? You know, people know about AAA. Call AAA. They'll go anywhere and get your car, right? Jump your car, pick you up, whatever. Tow it. Well, in relationships, I contend that we shouldn't call AAA. And what is AAA in relationships? Do not attack, do not accuse, do not assume. If you do any of those things, the hearer is automatically and more likely to move into a defensive posture where I have to defend, justify, or explain. Whereas if we learn to ask questions, make it in lieu of making statements that sound like an attack, that feel like an accusation, that feel like an assumption, or is heard like an assumption, we can chart our way forward more successfully conversationally versus why did you do that? What were you thinking? Yeah,
that doesn't get too far in relationships.
There's
some trigger that gets like, you know, released at that moment, whether you want it to be there or not. So
absolutely. So true.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I really love the fact, because I just did an episode, a solo episode, and I really talk about the foundation of a healthy relationship, whatever relationship we're in, mm-hmm. you have to have these loving relationships at this point, core values, mm-hmm. core beliefs, and life goals. And you say this and you explain how important that is in a successful relationship. Could you go on a little bit further what you think about those?
Certainly. It's really to say that in relationships, right, we talked about not just having the relationships, but actually learning from our experiences. So when we meet new people, it's in meeting someone or dating or getting to know, in my opinion, it's okay to ask questions, not tell me what happened in your last relationship. No, that's not the question you want to ask. I don't recommend it. What I would ask someone to consider is when you're meeting someone new and getting to know them, ask them, what have they learned about their experiences in their relationship? What have they learned about themselves? A couple of things you'll learn. You'll learn A, if they're open to sharing. You'll learn B, if they've actually learned from their experiences, kind of done the homework or done the work to kind of delve into the choices they made and why. And you'll also learn if there's something that they're sharing aligns with where you are. See, the thing is, when we meet people, it's not to say that we're going to be together. No, I don't even know if I like you, sir. You don't know if you like me, ma'am. I mean, it's just because we may like how someone appears to us, we still don't know what their heart is like, their character is like, their thought process is like. And so these are all things that we would hope to be aligned on to even determine if we should continue beyond this point of just getting to know, because it's okay to say, hey, listen, you know what? You said you like to rob banks. Really not my thing. I think we should pass, right? Wish you all the best. But I think it's important to really just ask the questions and to allow what we hear to inform our response and or next question.
That's so important, because I get this asked all the time. What do you teach your clients on, you know, when you go on a first date or a second date and you're getting to know someone, what are some of the things you should talk about? I was like, oh, wow, there are so many different questions you can ask. But I love how you pose the questions, because it really is non-threatening. It's non-interview, right? It is allowing them to have the space to talk about themselves in a way that feels natural and good.
Absolutely. And
that's so important, because you can feel, oh, there's a couple women that I will not say names, but just people in my life that I know who go on, they're literally interviewing because they don't want to mess around. They don't have enough time. And I said, do you know why you're not getting to the second date? Because these men feel attacked, or they feel like, oh my God, like, slow down, lady. You're too aggressive. You need to just calm down, come into the space of asking the right questions.
And breathe, right? Because here's the thing. It's understandable. See, both parties in the date and the experience. And let me just say this. I love love, right? So I don't coach your choices. I coach relationships. So you love who you love, right? So no matter who's on the date, if both people have some trepidation, both people have like, not sure, because there's so many unknowns. So the idea is just to say, hey, you know what? This person seemed to appeal to me. I seem to appeal to them. Otherwise, neither of us will be here. Mm-hmm. So let's just look at this thing. It's kind of disaggregated just a bit and say, okay, let's look at the basics here. Okay, I'm here because I wanted to be. This person's here because they wanted to be. That's a good start. Let's have a conversation. Okay. How was your day? Right? What did you do that was exciting today? Right? Or what do you do that's exciting? What excites you in life? Right? Do you love what you do? Or did you go to school like so many others and hate it and say, well, this is how I eat, so I got to keep doing it? You know, it's just questions, and let the answer, again, inform your response or next question. It should not be scripted. If it sounds like an interrogation, people are going to shut down. Because they're like, you know what? If this is what this is going to be, I don't think I want to participate. But if you talk to me and you ask me questions and you listen to my response and allow that, again, to inform your next question and or comment, hey, the conversation can flow easily. It takes practice, though. It takes practice.
Yeah. I think you said a couple things, right? You didn't say just ask questions, but make sure that you're actively listening. Because people might, like you said, in the very beginning, nod their head and say yes, yes. And then, you know, that's not really what they heard, or that's not really what's going on here. So listen to the person. And when you're actively listening and you can ask the next question, like you said, and it should be a flow, right?
Absolutely. Much like we're doing right now. We're having a conversation.
Exactly. You know,
and in doing so, it's, you get to learn things, right, that you wouldn't have otherwise known, and maybe share some things that are of interest to you, right? You know, it may be a thing of, it may be asking questions around, are you a risk taker? You know, are you adventuresome? You know, there are people who enjoy bungee jumping. I'm not one, right? But the person, she may be. And I'm like, that's good. I will live vicariously. That is not anything I'm going to ever do. I mean, and it's okay. And that's the other thing too. That's the other point. When we hear things that someone shares that differs or doesn't align with us or what we desire, they're not wrong. They're not bad. It's just different. And we can disagree or agree to disagree, but we can also say, hey, you know what? I respect what you're saying. Doesn't work for me, but hey, I'm excited for you. We don't have to, just because it doesn't agree with us it's not something that we would choose, it doesn't make the person who chooses it like they're a leper, something's wrong with them. No, their choice is just different. The key is we have the choice, and this is the bigger point. We have the opportunity to respect the choice, even if it's not one we would make. Respect that someone else gets to make it and they're not wrong for making it. That's all. Yeah,
that's a really great point. Because I think so many people really live through kind of their ways, their beliefs is kind of the right way.
Right.
And you hear this when people start to date or even new friendships and, you know, these are my beliefs, so they're right. Well, no, everybody has their own beliefs and that's okay.
Indeed.
But it's like when you find that your beliefs are similar and you both are open to listening to other beliefs, because look, we're not always given every piece of information.
Absolutely. 100%.
So I think when you can come from that viewpoint, then so many more opportunities, like you said, can happen or be just so much more can happen for you.
Yes. I think what's really good is it's 2 points I want to make. Number one, let's look at core values. If you think about relationships in your own life, and anyone who's listening to this, think about relationships that you value and that the person you're in relationship with, you guys have history, you got years, and you've been, and it's a real friendship, it's a real relationship, it's a real romantic relationship, right? Likely, one of the reasons that is the case and you've maintained a good relationship and a good friendship for so long is because your values are more aligned than they're not. You think about persons that you don't agree with, you don't get along with, if you don't share much time with. It can be professionally, it can be personally, it can be persons that you meet on a date. And there's some things that you learn that just are not aligned with you, and it's okay. Just understand that that's an indicator. I'm not saying it's the reason, I'm not saying it's a 100% solution, but it's an indicator that if you're in a relationship with someone and it's continuing to flourish, it is likely because your values, your beliefs are more aligned than they're not. Now, here's why this is important in terms of agreement and getting and learning to and getting to know someone. Paying attention to what you're learning, meaning if we're conversing about whatsoever and you share with me, well, I had this challenge with X and it could have been professionally, it could have been personally. And I listen to how you handled that challenge. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I probably would have done something very similar. I'm thinking to myself, I may have done that very similarly, right? Now, that's exciting. Let me tell you why this should be exciting. Because what that says is, let's try to understand where we are aligned as best we can and talk about those things. Don't just listen in silence, like, not knowingly, but don't say, you know, I agree. And if I had a similar chat, I would have probably done, yeah, that was pretty good. Or I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, whatever the statement is, the point is this. When we get that part established and we continue, what that is an indicator of is if we should continue, as we face whatsoever, we're more likely to be able to discuss it versus up in arms about my opinion, your opinion, my view, your view. It's like, let me ask you how you feel about this. And I'd like to share how I feel. See, man, this is going to go on, Celeste, because my brain is working.
Let's do this. So I want to hear it. Yes. So does everyone else.
So I developed a coaching model. It's called Decide, right? And the first D is for define and discuss whatever the thing is. C is for communicate. I is for introduce or initiate. D is for design, which is the centerpiece of the model, which buys you agreement and accountability. And E is for execute. And in every phase of the model, you have to execute, right? So when you learn to decide, right, you can become more successful, learn how to identify, participate, and strengthen the relationships that matter most, become more focused, purposeful, and evolved. Because you have been coached. So that's the are you coached breakdown. Like, what is are you coached, right? Mm-hmm. Focus, purposeful, evolving. Then you get into identifying, participating, and strengthening. But how do you do that? That sounds great, but how do I do it? You learn to decide. And once you learn to decide using emotional intelligence, it'll help you strengthen the relationships that matter most because you have been coached. But here's the point I want to make to you, or better yet, introduce. When we have conversations, instead of continually having the same conversation over and over again, and which leads to frustration because you're like, I thought we talked about this. Oh, we talked. I can't tell you any of my clients say, oh, we talked about it. Oh my God. Here we go. what you can look forward to is another conversation and some more frustration. Mm-hmm. I promise you. But the way to mitigate frustration and to mitigate continued conversations is you first have to get buy-in. I used the example a few moments ago about saying to someone, we need to talk. Most people don't respond well to someone saying to them, we need to talk. But if you were to say something like, hey, listen, you know, I've been thinking about something and I'd like to get your thoughts on it and I'd like to share mine. Are you open to that?
Much better.
You see? And so if you say that, now the person feels included And you lessen the possibilities of feeling attacked, accused, or assumptions flowing out there, right? And so when you listen, now it's like, okay, let me understand what it is you want to share. Let me confirm that I understood what you wanted to share. And now let's see where we can find a place for us to agree. Because how you feel about what was shared. Oh, yeah, I can do that. And it could be something as simple as taking the trash out on a consistent basis. Or if it, again, it goes back to values, right? Say you're a person who's very prompt, but you've met someone or in a relationship with someone who that's not their strong suit. You know, they show up eventually, but when they get there, there's really no apology or acknowledgement of their tardiness, right? So the agreement says this, okay, or could be, if you're a person who is punctual and you're in relationship with someone or considering someone who isn't, but you like them as a person, but you realize, hey, they're flawed like me. Mine may not have been revealed yet, but I have them. They haven't pointed them out. I'm not going to tell them. They got to figure it out on their own. But this one right here is something that bothers me and I need to say something. But how do I say it? Hey, I have some thoughts about something I want to share with you and I'd like to get yours and I'd like to share mine. Oh, yeah, what's going on? Hey, listen, you know how, you know, a couple times we've been out, it's been great. And I've noticed that you have been late each time and you didn't share that you would be late. You didn't text me. You kind of got here, which I appreciate, but I would also appreciate if you'd let me know. So if going forward, are you willing, this is the question, are you willing to let me know when you're going to be late, when you know you're going to be late, not on the way, when you anticipate that I could be late, just let me know. Because it lets me, it feels that way. It'll feel like you respect me and my time and our time together. Are you willing to do that? Oh yeah, I can do that. Well, thanks. Cause see, you may be the first person to introduce accountability to this person. This is why not to make assumptions, because of how we do things doesn't mean that everyone else does. So don't assume and don't tell them they're wrong for not doing what you think they should. Ask a question, give them an opportunity to respond. And to also learn if what they are saying aligns with what you desire. And if it doesn't, if it does, great. And if it doesn't, that's the information you need to know. Why? Because the whole point of this exercise is to make an informed decision to continue or not.
It's really well put and super important, because when you, like you said in that the whole description of it, you said the one key word is because you didn't feel respected, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that whole thing was based on the lack of a respect that that person felt from the other person who was late. So can you, or is it possible in that conversation when you're talking to them and saying, you know, I have some things to share and I would love your feedback, are you able to say at that point, you know, the reason why this is bothering me, I feel like that I'm not being respected when you show up late? Or should you just say, you know, kind of like call them out on kind of what bothered you, the lateness?
Great question. No, I think both can happen. And I'll tell you why. See, because you're not just saying, hey, you were late. You're not bringing attention to the action. You're also explaining why. And see, this is the reason the why is important, Celeste, in my opinion, is because I don't have to agree with it, but because it matters to you, I will be mindful. See, this is something else that I think is one of the worst questions you could ever ask. But yet we all have done it. I'll raise my hands, both of them, because I've learned better. But it's one of the worst questions you could ever ask, in my opinion. And that is this. How would you feel if I did that to you? Mm-hmm. Ever heard that one before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done it myself, of course. I mean,
and so here's a challenge with the question, Celeste, because it misplaces the focus. See, you want the attention to be on how you felt about it. But when you ask a question, how would you feel, and how you, that thing that you're asking about doesn't impact them, they don't care, they don't regard it as highly as you, they could be like, it ain't no big deal. Sure, that's what you're supposed to say. So how do you fix it? You don't say that, number one. And what you could say, okay, is listen, do you care about me? Of course I care about you. You kidding me? These are leading questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. You care about me? Of course I do. You care about us?
Yeah.
Okay. Where you going with this? Just last question. Do you care about what matters to me? Yeah, I do. Why would you ask me that? Okay, I kind of thought so. Please don't do that. because that bothers me. That offends me. That hurts me. Mm-hmm. See, I want the attention to be where it needs to be. And that's on me, the person who was offended, not the offender. When you ask the offender how they feel about something, they may not feel about it as you do. So we have to learn to ask better questions. Mm. This is the work I do with my clients.
It's amazing.
How we interact more successfully. And we wonder how, because it's about results. It's not about, I told them how I felt. But what did it buy you if nothing changed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so important because, like you said earlier, it's like you have the same questions your clients have. We had this conversation. And it's like, yeah, I mean, a little bit about me. I've had this conversation with my 16-year-old, you know, over and over. I'm like, did you hear me? But apparently it's not registering with her.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm not asking the right questions, or maybe I'm not phrasing it right. And I love that you work with every relationship, right? Because relationships are the key to happiness, to communicating, to validation, all the million other words out there. But yeah, that's the most important thing in life, our relationships.
Yeah, they are. We all need them. We all need each other, you mm-hmm. know? And so how we connect. And so there's levels to it. So the title of my book is Love Relationships and Sometimes Just Letting Go. Mm. Understand, the book was written around romantic relationships, but I want to kind of go to the title, the letting go, sometimes just letting go. It's okay to let go. It doesn't mean you fail. It simply may mean that she chose you and you loved you more than the anguish that came with the relationship. Sometimes relationships run their courses and it's okay. It's that thing of, I feel, especially, this is something I see with my clients as well, particularly those who are high achievers. They're used to achieving. Everything works. I do 110% all the time. And if it's a relationship, I'm going to make this thing work. I don't care, come hell or high water, we are going to last. Mm. Well, here's a problem with that. You can't control outcomes in that. You can participate and you hope that the person you're participating with feels strongly as you and they want to work and do whatsoever to make it work, but they may not. Or you may come to a point where you choose not. It's okay. The benefit is the honesty that you're willing to have with yourself to say, you know what? I've looked at this, I've evaluated this, and I realized that maybe it just appears, and I'm not talking about theory and I feel this, I'm giving you receipts because these are examples that we both participated in that we have struggled. That's another point. I just want to drop that one in there too. When you share with your person, regardless of the type of relationship, seek to use examples that they participated in, and please don't use theory. Mm-hmm. Or I feel this, I feel that. Your feelings are fine, but that's not the time to introduce them. Introduce it in a fashion of something that they participated in, that they can say, yeah, I remember what you were saying. And see, now because they participated in the experience, it's real to them also. And what you'll also learn, if it isn't real, that also shows you how much or little they care for you. Mm. It's the nuance. This is the EQ part of it, folks. Understand, you get your EQ right. Most people hear about love languages. Oh, I got my love language. I know the five. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. It's so superfluous. It's so superficial. It's so surface. Mm-hmm. If you, the way, it's like economics, right? You know, you have macro economics, you have micro economics, right? Micro economics is emotional intelligence. Macro economics, or macro in relationships, is the love languages. See, and so, microeconomics is emotional intelligence in relation, you know, parallels in relationships. And macroeconomics would be the love languages of relationships. Because if you get the EQ right, you want to know automatically, you're going to probably be able to tell your person, I know what your love language is, without mm-hmm. them having to tell you. Because the components of EQ, self-awareness, self-management, relationship management, and social awareness. The social awareness part is with how you learn about your person, because you're reading the room. You're observing and paying attention to how they make decisions, how they feel about things, how things impact them, how they affect them, things they get joy out of, right? You could probably tell them, I think I got an idea. Don't tell them. Say, I think I know. What do I win if I guess it?
I like that.
So, there's ways to make it fun. You know what I mean? There's ways to make it fun. So yeah, I know I said a lot, so I'll try to be quiet because there's
I love it. I know that you're passionate about it, and I really enjoy learning from other mentors and coaches and experts because, you know, that's how we learn is by listening.
Absolutely. 100%.
So, you know, and I know, you know, I've talked about EQ a little bit with a few other people, but not so intensely.
Okay.
How do you coach your clients, or how do you teach them on the principles of EQ? So how to build that so that they are maybe successful in their next relationship?
Absolutely. First of all, it goes to the very first one, and that's self-awareness, right? Because that's really where it all begins. Understanding that because here's the thing. Take an example, like someone who says they struggle with temper. They're kind of hot-headed, and they know this, right? Mm-hmm. And that's great that you know, but just because you know, it may not be something that you understand or know how to yet manage, because that's a restraint proposition. That is a resistance proposition. When this happens, we have a choice. This notion of this is just how I am is trash. If anybody tells you, well, this is just how I am and this is how I've been, they have very low EQ. It's an indicator. You don't want to accuse them.
Okay.
Right. But it's an indicator of low EQ. Someone who's open to listening to say, okay, and you could say to a person potentially, hey, listen, can I ask you a question? If there was something observed about you, or something observed that you do that could potentially be holding you back from what it is you want to accomplish, would you want me to tell you? Who's going to say no? Mm. If they trust you and believe you have their best interests, they're going to say, of course. But if they think that they know everything and they don't value your opinion and perspective, they be like, no, I'm good. So it's listening to what people tell us, not what we want to hear. That's the difference. And we all do it because all of us at some point have been blinded by our own ambition because we feel like I've been so clear. I don't know how else to say this. What other words could I possibly use? How about these? What did you hear? Ask a question. It's not about how well you explained something. It's more about how well it was received, if at all.
Wow.
So how do I coach people? I ask them to think. I encourage them to ask questions and resist making statements. When you see something that you don't understand, don't try not to say what you need to do or what you should do. Say, can I ask you a question? I noticed this. I'm not sure what I'm saying. What made you choose that? And don't say it sarcastically or facetiously. You say it with intention, like, I really earnestly want to understand because I care. It's different. What are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything. So when a person becomes defensive, you now know you got it right because you know you didn't say anything to incite them. You don't. It's clearly they heard something different than you intended, which is, again, the opportunity to ask the question. What did you hear? Take your daughter. You said, I had this conversation with her. And it's like, all right, she's still not doing what you asked her to do or expected her to do. Okay, daughter, what did you hear mommy say? Okay, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
This is what I say, and this is what I need you to do. Mm-hmm. Not when you get around to it. I need you to do it now. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And so when we validate what is heard, we mitigate our own frustration. And when we don't, it becomes self-imposed frustration because we had an opportunity that we didn't exercise.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a great way because I think in every person's relationship they've come to or have come in contact or in some way, whether it was a colleague, a relationship, a family member, where you just can't, it's almost like they're so stubborn or they just are shut down, right? And I guess that would be the best explanation for people to understand. But it really, truly is the way that they're receiving the information.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're all human. It's understandable when we feel something is so simple. What are you missing? And that's the question that you may have to ask. What are you missing? Because I'm not sure how else to share this with you, because my goal is for you to understand. My goal is not to make you feel less than. My goal is to have you feel valued, viewed, seen, cared about, all the things that matter. You know, so let me share this. I want to share this with you as well and your audience. This is, we all have experiences. We're having an experience right now in this conversation, right? And when we're done, if we don't ask, hey, how did you feel about that? How did you feel about that? We can very easily take for granted that we both had a good experience and because we didn't talk about it. And we assume that we had a good experience when I could have very easily said something that bruised you, that damaged you, and you didn't say anything. I'm unaware, so I'm more likely to do it again. You're more likely to feel the same way you did when I bruised you. Here's the problem. That's when the resentment clock starts and you don't even know it. Because you're thinking about your feelings. You know them. I don't, because you haven't shared them. I can't fix what I don't know is broken. You're harboring something against me I don't even know. And I'm wondering why you're drifting. And you're like, because you did. Because think about this. In your relationship, have you ever heard a man and a woman? I'm sure you've heard this before. A man and a woman have an experience. Could have happened 3 weeks ago. The man, he says, oh, we're good. We're back together. We're doing whatever. The woman mentions it and says, hey, I don't know why you said that, what you said to me, what you said to me. He's like, huh? We still talking about this?
Exactly.
You see, here's where that comes from. Because yes, they had the experience. The man in that example may have moved on because he didn't say anything wrong with it. But he didn't ask her how she felt about it. So her question really isn't about the thing. Her question is, you hurt my feelings and you didn't even ask me about it. You took for granted and I was cool because we continued. But what you don't know is that that bruise is still there. Think about it. I could hurt you. I could brush you and bruise you, like bump you, right? And I could say, I'm sorry. I mean, you know how you can walk and you're looking away and you turn around and you bump someone. It's not intentional. And the person knows it's not intentional, but it still hurts. And just because you say, I apologize, doesn't make it stop hurting immediately. It takes the time it takes to stop hurting. But how about you acknowledge that you hurt me? Or did you, that you ask me if you did? Hear me. This is not just men to women. This is women to men. This is humans. This is no matter the relationship. We could do better asking questions. How did you feel about the experience? Did I bruise you? Did I hurt you unknowingly? This is an opportunity to share. We can create a safe space for us to have conversations. If I value you in a relationship, I want to create a safe space for you to share with me the things that hurt your heart. And I want to be able to share the things that hurt mine with you, because I want you to care for those things. And I hope that you recognize that I want to care for the things that matter to you. But if we're not willing to have that conversation, if we don't understand, and this is my, God, dog, this is a thing. I believe earnestly people want to. They simply don't know how. And that's why what we do is so important in the space of relationships, particularly around emotional intelligence, because it gives you the blueprint. It teaches you. You asked me a question earlier. How do you get people? How do you coach people? This is how. We use real examples that they're faced with and they say, okay, how did you handle it? Tell me what you did. What made you choose that? Did you get the outcome that you hoped for? Would you like to learn? Would you like to hear of a way that may help you get a different outcome? Yes, got you. I'm not going to tell you what to do it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. My goal is to prepare you so that you can think and remember to ask questions and experiences instead of attacking, accusing, or assuming because you're frustrated, and create agreements in the process so that you both grow, you both benefit, and the relationship continues to flourish.
Yeah, that was just really, really well said. And I truly, truly believe in the processes and the tools that you've created, because yes, it gives them that blueprint that does, they're able to walk away from a session with you or from multiple sessions and be like, okay, I got this. Because you did say earlier, it takes practice.
100%. And there's grace that comes with that. See, because understand the way that we've been interacting, we have habits around that. It takes 21 days to build a new habit. 21 consistent days, not get to 19. I'm not going to do 20 and say I'm good at 21. No, you got to start over, right? Because the subconscious kind of works that way. See, that's where our dreams come from, subconscious. you know, the conscious mind is always on. When we go to sleep, our subconscious mind goes to work. So those habits that we create, it takes time. And so just like we have runtime with bad habits, we also need runtime to develop new habits along with grace. If I care about you, I'm not going to be like, I just told you this. I thought you said. When you bring it back to the agreement, this is why the agreement is so important, Celeste. Instead of reminding the person of the offense, consider reminding them of the agreement. Because the agreement says buy-in. The agreement says I participated. The agreement says, yeah, I did say I was going to do that. Yeah, you did, sir. Yeah, you did, ma'am. Yeah, you did. Or I did, right? And instead of saying, why do I have to keep saying this to you? Hey, babe, what did we agree to? Did we agree? Maybe I misunderstood, but did we agree that we weren't going to do or that we would do? Right. That's what we have. It takes time. It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. It takes patience. It takes grace because we are all flawed and fallible and we're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And if we really care about our person, how could you not? Why would you not extend that grace?
That's beautifully said, because I think we forget about that part. I know I do when I'm frustrated.
I understand.
I do. I understand. I am flawed. I am human. I am learning constantly, but I am wanting to better myself. I'm wanting to, you know, because how can I coach and how can I help other people if I'm not able to be coached, right?
Totally. 100%. All of us, coaches need coaches, right? Yeah. And because we have blind spots. We have well intentions. We have good intentions, but we have blind spots. Things that we don't see, we don't realize how others are receiving us. And we think we're good. And when someone brings it to our attention, hey, you know how you said X, Y, and Z? And you're like, well, what's the problem with that? Well, it's not so much as a problem. I just don't know if what you intended is what was heard. Well, why do you say that? Well, I give you, for instance, this is, I don't know why this example just popped in, but, and I hate to use it. I'm going to, because it's the only one I can think of to illustrate the point. So let's take a person who's dating, right?
Okay.
And that person who's dating, say they were once married and they have children, but they would rather not be in relationship with someone who does have children, even though they have children. They just for whatever their reasons are, they would rather not, because their feeling could be, well, yeah, I get to know the person, now I get to know their children, the relationship doesn't work out. Here's another relationship that's collateral damage with young people, right? They may have it in their own life, feels that way about their own children. And they're like, I'd rather not do that. So let me not even consider someone who has children for that reason, not because kids are bad. But now you understand that, right? That makes sense.
Yes.
When it's explained to that
perfect
way, right?
Sense. Mm-hmm.
But if you just say, I don't want to date someone who has kids, and you put a period, you know why you don't want to date people that has kids. But to the person who's hearing, is like, the hell, heck,
oh, right.
How does that work? You know what I'm saying? But when you explain it, now it's like, oh, and so again, the blind spot is thinking that you're clear when someone points out that you're not, although you intended to be. But when they explain to you the gap in your explanation, you're like, oh, I see what you're saying. Now I also understand the need to be clear, to provide clarity and explanation, because it can sound offensive. It could sound like, how do you not want to date someone who has what you have? That's how it could be heard.
Very true.
You see? And so that's why that additional explanation is valuable.
Yeah.
Does that example make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. And I understand it's the juicy bits within that statement, right? Because it can be construed in so many different ways. And that's the assumption part, right?
Absolutely.
But I mean, how can you not make an assumption when it's not clarified? So
exactly.
You know.
Because you only have that soundbite. Mm-hmm. You only have that information. And see, this is something else. You got me going, Celeste. I'm thinking about some stuff.
I love it.
So there is opinions and observations. They both begin with O, but they do not mean the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. So my opinion, and if you think about a soundbite, right, you think about clickbait, you see this thing and you say, wow, and people have opinions about what they see. And you can hear a portion of it, and that portion is not the full context, but that's all you heard. And now your opinion is formed on what you heard. In my opinion, that's a little less than smart. It's a little limiting, okay? Your opinion is not about your opinion being invalid. It's the fact that you don't have all the information to have an informed opinion. What is a hypothesis? You remember that from science class?
I do. It's the, I don't know the technical term.
It's an educated guess.
Educated guess. There you go.
Which means there's information that you have to make said guess, mm-hmm. right? I think this is why, because of these reasons. But if I see something that I don't understand and I have an opinion, now we're teetering on ignorance. Because ignorance simply means unlearned. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you're unlearned, right? And so my observation, if I choose to delve a little deeper and understand more clearly, for me, my own edification, now my opinion is informed. It's not ignorant. Again, they both begin with I, but don't mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. See what I did there? Come, Joe. But
no, but it's, you're right. It's, and I love that you use clickbait, right? Because that's just a piece of, and you're right. A lot of times we don't get the full picture, the full explanation. And that's why it is so important. Yeah. I love your analogies. I love your stories. I love your examples, as you call them. Yeah, I love them. And I think that helps explain better, right? Yes. You're a master at explaining and ways of asking the right questions.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. In your book, tell me a little bit about, do you have all the tools that you use with coaching, or is it more about your life, or is it a little bit of both?
Great question. No, it's really not about my life. It comes through work that I've done with clients. It comes through the coaching model I've created. So the content, let me share with you how this came to be.
Okay.
So during the pandemic, I had a weekly show for about a year called Sip and Chill with Coach Reg. And the sip was a play on shelter in place and chill with Coach Reg, right? So we just did Sip and Chill. It was adult. It was, I'll say, grown and sexy from the vantage point of, we're going to talk about relationships. You can ask me questions. I'm going to answer, much like we're conversing now. So we did that for about a year. And at that time, I didn't know, because each week I would prepare for the show, much like you do your podcast. You prepare, right? Mm-hmm. And for every episode. And so I would prepare. And my goal in having this, because I had not done that before, was to deliver content or offer content that would support people in their relationship journeys, whatever, wherever they were. And so in the course of doing so, people would say to me, man, you have some great content. You really should consider writing a book. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't in that space. Mm-hmm. But at the end of Sip and Show, when I chose to discontinue the show or to end the show, I then started looking at curating the content and said, man, maybe there is something here. And I learned that there was. And so we pulled about 11, I wanted to have 10 chapters. We pulled 11 show topics that we had done and converted them to transcript or to words or to, you know, from video to print, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got there. And because I was coaching around emotional intelligence, because I was teaching, you know, coaching people through their questions and like, maybe this is how you could consider this. It's always a question. Coaches, one thing about coaching is that we don't provide answers. We ask you questions so you can come to your own, because you have to live with it. It's not what I think about what you should. Well, tell me what you think about this. Mm-mm. What do you think about it? And why do you think that? Because your thought could be a limiting belief, because you don't have all the information. You may not have asked all the questions or asked enough questions to get more information so that you could make a more informed decision. So it just came from using those weekly topics that were baked, that had EQ baked in. Again, I created a coaching model. And so I wanted to have the content, have the model to help people understand how to work through the content. And then we did something at the end of the chapter called the Are You Coached approach. So what we would do is we would give a story example or scenario to illustrate what you just read in the preceding chapter. And then after that, we had commonly asked questions about all of what you just read. So it was a way to kind of reinforce what you're learning, using examples that most people can relate to, because you can see yourself in the text, because it's not what I think. It's like, God, I did that. Well, and I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest blessings and the gratitude and gratefulness for this work is when people call and reach out and say, you have no idea how often I reference that. I'm like, that is so odd. Because it's huge. Not about me. It's so huge. Because it's not about me. It's landing the way I wanted to. I wanted to help Pete. That's why I got into the space. It's not about, oh, look at me. This is what I think. No, sir. No, ma'am. I want you to think. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what I think. As long as you're thinking, you got a shot at winning. That's all. Okay, I'm sorry. I get a little passionate, and you'll probably
That's
see that.
That's amazing. This is the amazing part. Passion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely love this work because I love to see people benefit from doing their own work to get to their better outcomes, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool when people say, I didn't call AAA. I ask a question. I was like, look at you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so your references.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's great. It's great.
It's the best. It's the best when you see your clients' success and the new ways of building these healthy relationships, or for me, building confidence. That's something that they didn't have. And now they're just shining and like, you know, being amazing. And I just, that's what we do. That's what we are here for. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Celeste.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited. I didn't get to read the whole book. So I really wanted you to kind of tell everybody how it came about and what it is to you, because every book that everybody has written is very personal. It's a personal journey.
Yes, yes, yes. And I gave them, so to be clear, when people read the book, they will see it. They will learn a little bit about me because I share a little bit about me and how I came to this space and why I do what I do. So there are parts and portions of it that are about me, but it is also intended to introduce people who are unfamiliar with coaching to coaching and how it as it pertains to relationships. Something else I think is important to note, Celeste, is that when in the mental health genre, and I'm not going to cover all, but I'll just use three that people tend to be familiar with because they kind of conflate and lump it all together.
Okay.
And that's therapy, counseling, and coaching. They are not the same. Therapy, the way that I explain it to folks is real simple. Therapy helps you understand the genesis of who you are, how you got there, your triggers, your trauma bonds, whatever those things are that help shape you the way you are today. And maybe how you work through the things that you're trying to figure out, depending on the type of trauma that was introduced in your life. Counseling tends to think of still in the therapy realm, can be therapist, but it's more crisis. Think about people in relationships. Oh, we have to go see somebody. It's crisis because we feel like the end is near. So it's crisis. Coaching, not therapy, in a genesis perspective or crisis perspective, coaching helps people move from where they are to where they say they want to be. So if you liken it to, in English terms, past, present, future. Crisis, present, coaching, future. Therapy, past. That make sense?
Yeah, it's great. And I love that you used, you know, coaching is getting unstuck and being able to move.
Yes.
You know, I just use that word because I think we get to so many places in our lives, whether it's our career,
yes,
children. I mean, you know, whatever it is, these life things that happen to us, it's so easy to get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's not working, right? If you're not growing, you're dying. And that's
exactly.
It really is like, oh, no, you're just complacent. You're just in the same position.
Yeah. Do you see it though? Do they see? And the question becomes like, what do you want? See, we can ask, we can be curious. Mm-hmm. That's another thing about, you know, coaching and really, we can be curious with people. Not critical,
right?
But curious. See, if I'm curious, I'm like, hey, what do you want? What's important to you, and why? I would love to know. See, because if I know what it is and why, I can support you because I care about you. But if I don't ask you what is important to you, what matters to you, and seek to understand why, then it's just another thing. Okay, they said they like blue skies over rain. Okay. It's empty.
Mm-hmm.
People feel valued when people ask questions because they get to respond versus being lectured to and told what I think you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear people to move themselves away from it say, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. God, man, you're so right. And they don't do anything after that, but continue doing the same thing that they agreed they were doing.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because that's my daughter's. It's gotten so good. She's like, mom, yep. Okay.
Yeah. It's so.
I think I'm failing with the communication, but I'm constantly learning. But sorry, though.
No, I didn't mean
to laugh at your honest, you know.
No, it's like, I don't say because honestly, here's the thing. All of us in some capacity, no matter the relationship, have dealt with that. Because there's somebody who's telling us what they think they know that we need to do. And we're like, and because we don't know, but what did I say a few moments ago? It's not that we don't want to communicate. We don't know how. Mm. And so that person who's just listening like this, not your daughter, let me be clear.
It's okay.
But this person who was listening like, yeah, you're right. Mm. They're when you don't ask a question, when you relinquish your power, you give up your power in that moment. Because you're like, wait a minute, you're telling me what you think I should do and why I need to do it. Can you help me understand why you're saying this to me? And why is it so important to you? I want to understand that. Because what will happen is with that person, well, he's like, oh, wow, because I just want this for you. Okay, I get that you want it for me and I appreciate that you want it for me. But here's the deal. You can't control the outcome. It's my choice. I appreciate your care. I absolutely do. I thank you that I'm grateful that you love me. But here's the reality. If I'm going to do the thing that you're saying, even if I agree with the thing that you're saying, it still has to be when I'm ready to, if at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you to respect that versus talking to me as if I can't think for myself. I can't process information for myself. I don't know how to think critically. That's another problem too, Celeste. Mm-hmm. So many people do not know how to think critically. It's like, what is critical thinking? It's like a flow chart. Mm-hmm. If this happens, then I'll do this. If this happens, then I'll do that. It is not a zero. It's not a 100% proposition or solution. It is a way to get into something and say, let me think this through. I have to count the cost. I have to see if it's basically a cost benefits analysis. When I do this at the end of this thing, what am I left with? And if what I'm left with doesn't serve me, guess what? We're not doing that thing. But if at the end of this thing, the outcome serves me, that's the path I'm on. You don't know that at the beginning at hello. You don't know that until you get in it. The key is with critical thinking is once you get in the flow of it, how do you show up? Do you shrink or do you lean in? And they are not the same.
So powerful. Really, really is to hear. And you explain it in such a way that I think everyone here can really understand. And like you said, a lot of us have been in these positions, right? At some point in our life. I don't think you said one thing that someone can understand today.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And I'm sure everybody else is like going, yeah. Like I hear you, you know, because some people just, I've met people in my life, which super successful people.
Yes.
That are not self-aware. They don't feel like they have to be mindful or they don't have, that's not me. I'm like, okay. It's part of being human, but I understand maybe you don't know how instead of saying that's not me, right? Didn't you say that earlier?
Absolutely. And that's so important because objectivity is not criticism. It's a point of view that you can't have because you're subjective. The person who says that's not me, that's a narrow view. Because the person who's saying, I noticed something, that they're coming from, their perspective is objective. They're speaking to what they noticed, not necessarily what you did or intended. See, that's the thing. We've heard this before. We speak to the act, not the actor. We don't tear down the actor. We tear down the act. We speak to the act that disappointed us. Mm-hmm. And if you keep it there, and if the person's like, well, you said I did this. You call me this. It's like I was talking with someone once before. They said it was a mother daughter. Over years, they've had a lot of damage. And I'll be quick. I'm sorry. This is the last
That's
point.
That's okay.
They had a challenge. And the comment was, you think I'm mean. No one said you were mean. But because of the things that you're saying to me, your interpretation of what you're hearing is the word me. You think I'm mean. No, I'm giving you examples of things that have transpired. Your takeaway is me, but that's not what I said. And if we can remind people of what was said versus speaking to what they're hearing, then that conversation will continue to go sideways because both people are just speaking to things that someone is saying and not necessarily what happened. So There's so much here, Celeste, and obviously we can't unpack it in an hour, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I think you know, I appreciate that. And I really agree with you. So you guys all have to go get his book, buy his book, or check him out. And I'm going to ask you one last question. And this is, I ask all my guests, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
Oh, wow. Favorite date. Woo. I've been so busy. Okay.
Any time favorite of your
date.
Life.
Favorite date. Oh, you know what? I would say, favorite date. Man. Oh, God, Celeste, can I get a rain check? I'm sorry.
I threw you off, didn't I?
You did. May I please have a rain check?
Sure. Yes. I will get back to you on that one. And everybody, hold him to this.
Absolutely.
Well, you've been a pleasure. Where can anybody find out more about you or purchase your book?
Absolutely. In fact, if I could, Celeste, I will share with you my Linktree.
Okay.
And that has all of my contact, how you can book a discovery call. You can see our coaching offers. You can see where to get the book. You can see some things we've done in media. You can learn a little bit about Coach Raj. Yeah. And how would you prefer I share my Linktree with you?
Don't worry. I've got all your information. I just wanted everybody to hear like Instagram, website, just really quick so they can just Google you.
And it's all there. If you Google RU Coached, you'll see it. But if you go to Linktree, are you coached? You got me.
Perfect.
There.
All right. Amazing. Don't forget to go get his book because honestly, I want to read all these stories. So, but you've been so great. And I know everybody here has learned so much. I know I have. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming.
I wish the same for you.